100 years. 100 years of torment. That's how long the Roman Empire had occupied the land of Judah by the time Jesus was sentenced to a capital crime that he did not commit, insurrection against the empire. Why did he die so fast? Rome used those crosses to intimidate people. Anyone that was guilty of crimes against the empire could likely meet that fate. Some of them could last for days, over a week, until dehydration, starvation, exhaustion, the elements or other creatures might help them on their way to their eternal reward or punishment, whatever the case may be. But Jesus was put on that cross at noon, and Jesus died on that cross in the great hour of mercy, 3 o'clock. Most people, when they were put on their cross, they were perfectly healthy. And that is why it would take so long for them to pass. And Jesus was not sick. Jesus was not going to die of natural causes. Jesus had been scourged, as we recall. First, Pilate had him whipped, and then people were stoning him, spitting on him, mocking him. He fell under the heavy weight of that cross 3 times. Indeed, Jesus was almost dead before he was nailed to that cross. He almost didn't live long enough to fulfill the Father's will. And all of that for something he did not do. It's our sins that he took on that cross. And this was always God's plan. It was always the Father's will. And Jesus was determined in everything that he said to demonstrate his faithfulness to God, but also to strengthen the faith of his disciples by letting them know everything was happening just as God had planned it. We touched on that with the responsorial psalm this past Sunday. On Palm Sunday, we sang Jesus' words from the cross when he quoted Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? On the surface, it seemed as if Jesus was lamenting God having forsaken him. And yet, Jesus was quoting that psalm written 1,000 years before Good Friday, because it says, and John quotes it today, from my vestments they cast lots. They have pierced my hands and my feet. That wasn't the only psalm that Jesus quoted on the cross, and it was a struggle for him to speak at all. We talk about the 7 last words of Christ. It was more than 7 last words. It was really the 7 last sentences. As Jesus on that cross, in order to be able to speak, had to push up his whole diaphragm onto those nails that were holding his arms to that cross as his lungs were filling with blood and water, but also he could say to us his parting words, things like, woman, behold your son, son, behold your mother, I thirst, it is finished. But in quoting another psalm, what did he say? It was the psalm we sung just now, Psalm 31, into your hands, Lord, I commend my spirit. That's the last thing that he said in Luke's account of the Passion before he died. Luke chapter 23, verse 46, into your hands, Lord, I commend my spirit. But what does that mean? What does it mean to commend something to someone? It means to give it away. Once again, words written 1,000 years before the crucifixion, and struggling to say those words, Jesus needed those few who were faithful enough and determined to remain at the foot of the cross when others, like the apostles, scattered to the winds and abandoned him to understand it's going to be okay. What appears to be my darkest hour will in fact be the hour of my great triumph. Everything is happening according to God's plan. It seems bad now, but wait and hope on the Lord. And saying those words, into your hands, Lord, I commend my spirit, what Jesus was clarifying something that's very important for our reflections here today. His life was not being taken from him. His life was not being taken from him. Not by those Herodians, the Romans, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the chief priests, the scribes, the elders, the scholars of the law. Those 9 groups who hated each other but hated Jesus more and joined forces against him. They were not taking his life. Those who brought false charges against him in that mock trial, they weren't taking his life. Even those who nailed him to that cross, no, they weren't taking his life either. No one could, and no one can. God can only die if he chooses to. Jesus didn't have his life taken from him. Jesus was giving it away, just like he did everything else. And he was giving his life to God for our sins and for our salvation. You can't kill God unless God chooses to die. And that's why Christians and every church on the planet gather on this day to herald, to recall, and to remember just how much God loves us. He loves us to death, the death of his Son. But for our reflections here today, I think it's important for us to realize that Jesus was only quoting one sentence from Psalm 22, only one sentence from Psalm 31. But most of the Jewish people had to study those Psalms day after day in their original Hebrew. They had them memorized. They knew the reference points that Jesus was making. And they are songs, hymns of thankfulness and praise. Jesus was singing God's praises even during the most difficult and darkest moment of his life. And so I will conclude today with Psalm 31, so we can echo Jesus' hymn of praise as he was giving it all to God for us and for our salvation. Psalm 31, picture Jesus on the cross and these words going through his human heart before it stopped beating for love of sinners. In you, Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Make haste to rescue me. Be my rock of refuge, a stronghold to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Free me from the net they have set for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commend my spirit. You will redeem me, Lord, God of truth. You hate those who serve worthless idols, but I trust in the Lord. I will rejoice and be glad in your mercy. Once you have seen my misery and gotten to know the distress of my soul, you will not abandon me into enemy hands, but will set my feet in a free and open space. Be gracious to me, Lord, for I am in distress. Affliction is wearing down my eyes, my throat, and my insides. My life is worn out by sorrow, and my years by sighing. My strength fails in my affliction. My bones are wearing down. To all my foes, I am a thing of scorn, and especially to my neighbors, a horror to my friends. When they see me in public, they quickly shy away. I am forgotten, out of mind, like the dead. I'm like a worn-out tool. I hear the whispers of the crowd. Terrors are all around me. They conspire together against me. They plot to take my life. But I trust in you, Lord, and I say, you are my God. My destiny is in your hands. Rescue me from my enemies, from the hands of my pursuers. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your mercy. Do not let me be put to shame, for I have called to you, Lord. Put the wicked to shame. Reduce them to silence and Sheol. Strike dumb their lying lips, which speak arrogantly against the righteous in contempt and scorn. How great is your goodness, Lord, stored up for those who fear you. You display it for those who trust you in the sight of the children of Adam. You hide them in the shelter of your presence, safe from scheming enemies. You conceal them in your tent, away from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord. Marvelously, he showed to me his mercy in a fortified city, though I had said in my alarm, I am cut off from your eyes. Yet, you heard my voice, my cry for mercy, when I pleaded with you for help. Love the Lord, all you who are faithful to him. The Lord protects the loyal, but repays the arrogant in full. Be strong and take heart, all who hope in the Lord.